Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. This Monday edition, Walker Wildman sitting in today, guest hosting. Fred Jackson co-hosting with me. Two familiar voices to the show. Glad to have you with us. We've covered a lot of news, a lot of content, but guess what? We're not done yet. We still have another half hour of news and information, all from a Christian perspective, coming your way. Steve Jordahl, welcome to the studio.
Good morning. And frankly, we could probably take another 2 or 3 hours if we really wanted to.
We could, but I like my lunch break.
There you go.
So we'll keep it to 11:30.
What's the deal? They don't have a show open with now your host, Walker Wildman.
Well, yeah, it's because I guest host maybe once every 6 months. So creating a spot just for me.
They had one done for Ed.
Yeah, well, maybe we can look into that.
Yeah, we should.
Feel special.
There you go.
Anyways, what news stories you got there, Steve?
Let's start with breaking news. This morning, 3 Senate Democrats filed a lawsuit against Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker against his appointment, saying it is unconstitutional because it was not he has not been appointed by the Senate or confirmed by the Senate. Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Macy Hirano of Hawaii, and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island are asking a federal judge to remove Whitaker. The Justice Department released an opinion last week that said his appointment is legal because he's in an acting capacity, said Justice Department spokeswoman Carrie Kupek. There are over 160 instances in American history where a non-Senate-confirmed person performed on a temporary basis the duties of a Senate-confirmed position. So they're doing whatever they can to try to get him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting is a generic word, but the fact that, and I've looked into the legal arguments, but they're really coming at it as he's a threat to the Mueller probe, he's got to go kind of angle. But legally, Whitaker's appointment is legal because he's been through the Senate for when he was a U.S. attorney in Iowa, I believe, or Utah. He was a U.S. attorney in Utah, so he had Senate confirmation there. And he served at the department for over 90 days before his appointment. So according to the laws, some might disagree with me. I know
Napolitano
disagrees with me, but at the same time, Greg Jarrett of Fox News agrees with me.
They both said that you were a very intelligent person, however.
Yeah, well, Greg Jarrett agrees with me on this. So there's differing opinions. But nonetheless, my opinion is that his appointment is lawful. Now, getting into the whole Mueller probe question, Fred, the Democrats and even some people like Jeff Flake don't like that Matt Whitaker has criticized, if you will, or called into question the legitimacy of Robert Mueller's mission. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can people not hold an opinion and hold a position in government? That's the question here.
Well, as a Republican, if you're a Republican, you're not allowed to hold an opinion.
There you have it.
There's the problem right there. No, but you kind of put it all together, Walker. This lawsuit, this going to court to try to remove Whitaker by these 3 Democrat senators, mm-hmm. This all has to do with the Mueller investigation.
Right.
The aim of the Democrats over the next 18 months leading up to the 2020 election.
Yeah.
Is to keep Mueller going.
Mm-hmm.
They want that out there. And when the Democrats take control of the House, you're going to see an even more aggressive push, to be sure, to try to legitimize the Mueller investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got 5 weeks before, or a little longer, before the Democrats take control.
Yes. Right.
So over the weekend, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Devin Nunes of the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, our Intelligence Committee.
He said, we found a whole batch of more emails with regards to how James Comey, former FBI director, worked together to hide information from the FISA court with regards to the source of the now famous dossier.
Right.
All right. So Devin Nunes plans to be busy. Trey Gowdy, who I believe also sits on that committee.
Yep, that's right.
Trey Gowdy was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends. They want to bring back James Comey under oath. Now, James Comey basically says, well, I only want to talk to you guys for 5 minutes.
Right.
That's it. And even though James Comey is out there saying, I believe in full transparency.
Right.
I want everybody to
know. And he's lobbying publicly for his position, but he won't talk to Congress.
Exactly. So when he gets questions, and Trey Gowdy says, we believe we have the right to keep James Comey for more than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's called a subpoena.
If he's so interested in transparency, we want him to testify about what he knew about the source of the dossier, and did indeed they attempt to try to hide the information.
Right.
And just to remind folks, because we haven't talked about the dossier for a while, that this dossier was put together with the help of the Hillary Clinton election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be very clear about that. But we do know for sure that the FBI and the Justice Department, then the Obama Justice Department, did not tell the FISA court about the sourcing of that dossier, but depended almost wholly on that dossier to go get justification to spy on Trump people. So, Trey Gowdy, the Republicans in the House are not through yet. People like Trey Gowdy and also Devin Nunes are going to stay busy right up to Christmas Day, if they can, to try to bring more to light. But the Democrats are going to fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Incredible. A lot of stuff going on. I'd like to bring you guys, if I could, up to date on the camp fire out in California. If you were listening at the top of the hour, you heard an interview or part of a story that I did with a pastor up there. And his name is Tim Bolin. He is pastor, or was one of the pastors at Paradise Alliance Church. They give you the current statistics. The fire is 66% contained. They don't believe they'll have full containment until about the 30th of this month, another couple weeks away. 77 people are dead. 11,700 homes, a little more than that, have been destroyed. 472 businesses have been destroyed. 3,400 other buildings have been destroyed. And as of now, there are 14,500 structures still threatened.
Wow.
It is a nightmare up there. And I wanted to play a little bit more of the interview that I had with Pastor Tim. Just to give a sense of what's going on up there, you heard in the story that he and his family had to just rush to get out of there. He says that the search for survivors continues, but it's a difficult one. If you could play cut 12.
There are about 600 people and about 25 dogs looking for bodies now. They're finding them out in the middle of the woods. People just running for their lives. They're finding them all over the place now. My son has a real close friend who's on the detail, and 2 days ago he found four bodies. And so it's the biggest search in the history of the U.S. except for 9/11. But 9/11 was a confined small area, where this is just massive.
Wow.
Just incredible, the devastation that continues to go on there. As far as the personal toll, we're going to be talking with Pastor Tim down the line, but this is a little bit of his state of mind. I asked him what's next.
I'll be honest, I don't know if there's a town left. I don't know how our church, I mean, we went from average of 12 to 13, 1,400 on campus on a Sunday morning. I don't know what we're going to have. We got, you know, 16 of our 21 staff employees lost homes.
Wow.
So I don't know what our church is going to look like. I don't know if I have a job as an executive pastor if it's a small church. My position's not even needed.
Right. Not needed, and there might not be the tithe money there to pay a salary.
Right. If the town even comes back.
Right, right.
And now, his church building and his personal home did not burn down. The church building is still there. It smells like smoke and will for forever. But all his kids lost their homes. The kids that had homes in Paradise, they lost theirs. Yeah. So
it's hard for us. You know, we see these. Here's what happens, I think. We grow very cold to seeing these pictures on TV, and we do not realize the extent of the devastation that's in this. But this is a pastor of one church.
He's an executive pastor of one of the churches.
One of the churches. Mm. There are multiple churches.
Yeah,
right.
That have been affected by this. And the story is just as bad, I'm sure, in these other churches.
Every one of them.
And so, yeah, they've lost their incomes. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? They've lost their place of employment.
Right.
You mentioned, you know, factories, all of these sorts of things are shut down. So what do these folks do? Now, I heard a figure this morning, Steve. I'm not sure if this is true, but there's still about 1,000 people unaccounted for.
Right.
Missing. A lot of those are elderly. They think some of them could have wandered off to family homes
out
somewhere
of state.
And just haven't reported back in.
Yeah.
They're expecting rain later this week, so they're trying to rush to get this search as done as they can because rain is going to wash away.
Right.
Could wash away some of the remnants of the bodies that are burned are nothing but bone fragments anymore.
Right.
Wow.
So, but we will not have closure on all of these people ever. There will still be some missing at the end of this whole thing.
You know, after every tragedy comes, some call it Monday morning quarterbacking, but when we have a shooting, we have this, we have a terrorist attack, we always look at what could have been done possibly to prevent this. Now, I'm not with the Washington Post in the sense that Governor Jerry Brown's responsible for the wildfire, like they say President Trump's responsible for the hurricane. But there are a hurricane and a wildfire are a little different. Wildfire are a little different here in the sense that the government, the forest management programs do play a role in how these fires spread or whether they don't spread much, depending on what kind of environment they're in.
Right.
From my understanding, more brush, thicker woods creates chaos when it comes to fighting these fires because it spreads a lot faster. There's more fuel to the fire, if you will.
I grew up in California, and this has been a discussion that they've had ever since I can remember. And it's basically that environmentalists don't want people coming in and thinning the forests.
Boom.
There's a lot of underbrush. There's a lot of older trees. It's just you manage a forest. It's a career. It's a job.
Yeah, just like you mow your yard.
Right, right. And there have been lawsuits that have, and other efforts to keep that from happening under the guise of saving the wooded grouse or whatever it is that lives in the underbrush. A more proximate cause, which has been a little bit reported on, is PG&E, which is Pacific Gas and Electric, the big power supplier there, sent out a warning the day before this fire started saying, we might be turning off your power on this day because the high winds are causing sparking
from
the lines. There's just too high winds, and the fire danger is just too much. And they did this in one community and another place in the state and got just huge pushback. How dare you turn our power off?
Right.
And so they reversed and did not turn the power off on this day up near Paradise, California. That's where it started, and they say the origin is still under investigation, but all accounts have it that the PG&E lines, the sparks from the lines because of the high winds started this fire.
So, correct me, it's called the Camp Fire.
The Camp Fire, two words, yes.
Okay, so is Camp
Camp Road. There's a road up there, Camp Road is near where it started.
Yeah, a lot of people would, I think, would be under the understanding somebody built a campfire.
Yeah, no, no.
That's the name of the area.
Named after a road that went past. This is what they do. Where it starts, they find a point of origin, they name it something.
Right.
Yeah.
This needs to be looked into though, and honestly, when we talk about real world consequences to people, public policy that doesn't recognize God's order and design, and that is the whole environmentalism and humanism ideology, if you will, that views basically animals and God's creation as equal on the same playing field as humans, and they all have their own rights, if you will, that don't need to be invaded. That could have played a factor here because we all know. I mean, logic says that we need to manage our wildlife. We need to manage are the wilderness. That's why we mow our grass, we trim the bushes, we do all that to keep it under control. So President Trump, now you could say his timing was horrible in the tweet, people's houses are burning, President Trump's tweeting about, you know, whose fault it is. That needs to come after the fact. But as far as the facts, President Trump might not be that far off when it comes to someone needs to look into whether there was mismanagement on the forestry end in California. Or it may not necessarily be mismanagement. It may be they're managing it how the law says, but the laws need to be changed.
Well, and to your theological point, God gave us dominion over the earth.
That's right.
And over the animals. We are to exercise control, and it's our discretion.
Right.
There's not a theological or a legal or moral wrong about the way we manage our environment. That's our job. It's what God gave us the task of doing.
I remember back several years ago, further north from California, there was a whole debate about the spotted owl.
In Oregon.
And the environmentalists just went nuts on that, said, you know, basically they had to stop cutting. It put thousands and thousands of lumber industry people out of work. Put thousands of people out of work. And someone said, you know what, if there was a forest fire in those forests in Oregon, the spotted owl would move.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you cut down some trees, the spotted owl will move somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you we're not talking about totally wiping out the forests of Oregon.
No.
The spotted owl will move. But this is the power. The radical environmental movement goes to court. You put those two things together, and it can make lives miserable. And the media plays a role in this, in that they don't go out and talk to the people who cut down the trees, who work in sawmills, and how their livelihoods are jeopardized.
Right.
They won't talk to them. But that's the other side of the story. And in my mind, the spotted owl or whatever it is can move.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, wildlife, you know, at least in Mississippi, when you drive a big, loud tractor into the woods, the deer scatter.
That's
the
right.
Birds scatter.
They move.
Yeah, and so when you bring a big logging company into the woods, the owl's going to go find another tree
that's
not being cut down.
That's right.
All right, Steve, what's the next story you got?
Man, an astonishing story out of England, and this is coming out of England, but don't make the mistake of thinking the same kind of thing isn't happening here. They found there's a whistleblower. Her name is she's being referred to as Carol. We don't know if that's her name. She wants anonymity for her own protection. An astounding 17 pupils at a single British school are in the process of changing their gender, but most of these youngsters undergoing the transformation are autistic. And they are doing this because they think, or they've been convinced, that they're having problems with that this will solve the problems that they're having as being autistic. They went and looked, the British Daily Mail went and looked, and they found that a third of the youngsters referred to the National Health Administration's only hospital that deals with transgender youth are moderately to severely autistic. 150 autistic teenagers are being given puberty blockers to stop their bodies maturing. Now, Carol was a teacher at one of these schools, and this is what she said she was told. She was advised to keep parents and other teachers in the dark if a pupil claimed to be transgender. Other pupils at her school who changed gender groomed younger, mainly autistic students to do the same thing. And one autistic teenager is soon to have a double mastectomy.
I just want to make sure we're clear on this. Are they saying that the autism is caused by some kind of gender confusion?
No, they're saying that these kids are being groomed and as autistic children without the reasoning skills, or maybe thinking that there's a connection that they're being tricked into saying.
They're trying to justify the intervention.
There is no gender dysphoria among these kids.
Okay. All right.
Wow. And so you're talking about, it's one thing, it's egregious in of itself, to where these parents are allowing their kids to do these hormone treatments and these sex changes and to differ from God's creation. But it's an entirely higher level of egregiousness when the kids are autistic and they have trouble reasoning for themselves.
And the teachers are not telling the parents.
Right.
Now, the parents are going to figure something out when the boy stops growing hair or whatever it is, or when this poor girl comes home without any breasts.
Yeah. But this is what we talk about when we talk about America trying to become like Europe, and the lefties and the God-haters and the Democrats trying to take us down this path of what they view as secular progressivism and this grand utopia of everybody's happy. But in reality, you look over at Europe, folks, we need to pay attention and we need to get involved in our culture, because we do not want to be like them. where we send our kids to school. We already have enough problems with the public school system, but we send our kids to school and they're getting hormone treatment.
Well, and it's happened in this country.
Yeah.
Let's be aware of it. Remember the school district just north of Sacramento, California, last year, little elementary kids, we're talking 5 and 6 year olds, the teacher decided to read a book about transgenderism.
Yeah.
And she sent one of the little kids out, who I think was a girl, mm-hmm. and the little kid came back dressed as a boy. Yeah, cross-dressing. Mm-hmm. And without telling the parents.
Right.
The parents were outraged about this. They go to the school board meeting, and the school board says, we'll take a look at it. Well, a few weeks, and this was after, during the summer break, the school board comes back and says, nope, we have no obligation to tell you parents what we're doing. Mm. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue. One parent was saying, you know, my little daughter came home crying, fearing that she was going to turn into a little boy.
Right.
School district says, uh-uh, we're going to take care of your kids. You have no right, parents.
Yeah.
I tell you what, mom and dad, you better be involved with what's going on with your kids at school.
That's exactly right. You can't ask too many questions. You cannot ask too many questions of your kids mm-hmm. and of their teachers. You're the taxpayer.
Yes.
You're paying, you're footing the bill for your kid to go to school, even
kids.
For private school. They're your kids. You can ask as many questions as you want, and you have the right to look at all of the material, private school, public school, to know what's going on. So encouragement to parents, as Fred said, know what's going on.
Oh, man.
Got one more story?
Yeah, let's just end on something a little lighter. This is back in England again, and they're taking a look at some of the hate crimes that are being reported there. A victim, and this is reported to the police. The police logged these as hate crimes. A victim complained to the police that an unknown dog had gone to the bathroom on their yard, and they believed it was racially motivated. Apparently, the dog is a racist.
Where is this?
In England. A woman put her ear up to her neighbor's door and heard them talking about trying to get her to move out. She reported it as a race hate crime.
Against the dog?
No, well, against the... This is two separate things. The dog fouling
right.
the yard was
right.
one. And then the second instance, a woman went up to a neighbor's door, put her ear against the door, and heard them talking about her.
But it was the same. Was it the
no,
same
different.
Owner? The dog? It wasn't
no.
the dog owner? Okay,
two different
situations.
Yes.
Gotcha.
One woman, in a third instance, said that she felt she had been a victim of a hate crime after someone reversed into her car because she was displaying, she said, a poppy on the one of them, a remembrance poppy, which is something that they use over in England to remember the war dead. It was from the Flanders Field of World War One. It's getting crazy. One person said it was a race because his envelope had been opened at an envelope for mail had been opened at the post office and then resealed. Hate crime. It's coming, folks.
Well, that's the problem with hate crimes on a serious note, but I hope the dog gets an attorney.
Yes.
Because according to the U.S. District Court of Washington, D.C., the dog needs his due process rights.
That's right.
Just like Jim Acosta has his due process rights.
That's right.
The dog needs his due process rights.
You talk
rights.
About bringing the whole Respect show around them. To where we
Hey,
That's
you're
good.
Welcome.
Well done.
That's why I'm here.
Hey, and did you hear this? This is the NFL, and it might be a sign that the political correctness is continuing to ramp up there. According to several sources, the Browns think the Cleveland Browns may interview Condoleezza Rice for a head coaching job.
Yeah, because she has so much experience in football, right?
She says she has no interest in doing it, but she wouldn't mind calling a couple of plays.
Yeah. Well, Condoleezza Rice, I kind of like her.
Yeah.
She might make a good NFL coach. She'd be pretty tough.
Don't you have to know something about football more than just...
Yeah, you might need to know a little bit. But,
I mean, she's probably knowledgeable, but not coach knowledgeable.
Right. But who thought Donald Trump would be the president, huh?
Well, so you don't have to know anything about that.
You can defy the odds, that's for sure. Thanks, Fred.
All right, good to be here.
Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, today's issues is wrapped up for this Monday edition. We'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday with more live today's issues.